Hey everyone, this is Ed Belfour. The Carmen Cougars junior varsity goaltender, and you are joining us here on the Monday Nooner.
Hey, this is Colby Armstrong, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner. If you didn't get skating lessons in Saskatchewan from my mom, Rosie, then you suck at skating.
Riley Armstrong, T92, Mooseman, free skate, runner-up, and you're listening to the Monday Nooner.
As you know, the Millionaires is a pretty synonymous name, and she wanted the Melville Rhythm Hit. So I felt embarrassed, guys. Like, so she said, you know, you sound like a really good guy. What's your name again? So I said, John Gaditsa, Melville Rhythm Hit.
Hello and a big welcome to all the degenerates and pigeons tuned in. Welcome to Twirl 182 of the Monday Nooner podcast. As always, brought to you by the Mainline Automotive Group, Mainline GM, and Mainline Chrysler, with locations, fellas, all over, mainly in the West Central, but now in Southern Saskatchewan as well, and even into the eastern part of the province at Manitou.
Manitou and Watrous, Southie, Kindersley, Rosetown. It's a new month. It's February. We're not quite sure yet what the deals are. We know the certified GM used both stores in Rosetown and Kindersley. They got some smoking deals there, some really good stuff. And I suspect Dodge will have some sort of discount on trucks.
0%. That's all I keep saying. I like the 0%.
Yes, let's transfer that into a lot of stuff that's going on in our world.
The weather we had today as we record on Tuesday could have been sunroof open, guy.
Yeah.
Windows down. I think it was 13 or 14 degrees where I was today on the old truck thermometer. Crazy.
You would take some massive mud splash things through those windows, possibly even through the sunroof, because it is just a mess out there.
Yeah, it would be ugly. Malcolm's ATV in the back, his four-wheeler, would be full of mud today. Covered.
You should see my truck. I washed it this morning. I knew it was going to get muddy, but you like to go to your meetings with a nice clean truck, right? You don't want to show up muddy truck guy.
Yeah.
Try to look, you know, nice and clean with the rig.
Look the part.
Gravel roads today, she is caked on there. Oh, crazy man. Though, like 14 degrees, we'll say. 2 weeks ago, it was minus 49 without the wind chill. That's about a 63 degree swing in 14 days.
Big swingers here in Sask.
You're on the muddy road, and then you got onto, did you get onto Ring Road? And then you had like mud, you were that guy. Do you have the mud flaps? Do you have like the Yosemite Sam ones, like back off? Or any big jacked up mud flap guy?
I do not have that. I just thought today, obviously, one of my offices is at Rollo. I don't know if you guys ever go out there, but there are some back roads, and the roads there are clay, so they are impassable.
Oh, yeah. Till they dry up. Yeah, they would be
big time. Big time. That's for sure. Feels like spring. It does feel like provincial hockey season. We'll talk about some provincial hockey coming up and the bracket challenge, but what do you guys want to where do we want to start? Is it the come up or the throwback segment?
You just mentioned, right, the come up. We got senior hockey in the back half. We got a player of the week tarp that was given out. Seniors firing, leagues are firing, just a lot of stuff on the go. We could talk about that. Also coming up in the show, quick little interview, really unique, Canadian country music star Brett Kissel. So we talk about his country music career and all that, because he's playing tomorrow night in Regina and there's still a lot of tickets available. Then we talk about hockey.
Did you talk about the Speckle Park?
No.
Okay.
We didn't.
That's the breed of cattle that his family has up there in the St. Paul area, I think. Yeah. Big Speckle Park guy for all the livestock folks out there.
Flat Lake, Alberta. Dad was a senior hockey weapon up there. So yeah, Brett Kissel, cool interview. And everything else that we do coming up in the come up is for General Well Servicing, always hiring in southeastern Saskatchewan. Some really cool photos on X I saw of the rigs. This would be nice weather to be rigging in.
Would it automatically be road band season? Like, isn't that in the spring usually? But with the spring-like conditions, I'm going to have to lay off the roads for a little bit. Also on the come up this week, I have to make a quick apology to a senior hockey team in the province. We'll save that for the senior segment.
Nice.
There it is. Last show recap for Arctic Spa, Regina, and Saskatoon. Let me tell you about Arctic Spa and the fellas. They're at an Arctic Spa dealer convention in Mexico.
Retreat.
And Tori from Arctic Spa Saskatoon sends me a picture. And him and Dave up in Saskatoon, Dave that owns the Arctic Spa in Saskatoon, doesn't have a Nooner t-shirt. Kind of choked. So we got to get him one, Dave. It is a fantastic winter to have a hot tub. Oh, my Lord. It's fantastic. You can control everything from your cell phone. They got tubs starting at like $9,000, either Regina or Saskatoon. And tell them the Monday Nooner guys sent you. And they're made in Canada. They're like the best, even when it was minus a million. That's the... last show recap. Quick one as well, wasn't it? No.
Yeah, that would have been Dennis Bayak, our last full twirl, the pride of Fork River, Manitoba. Was it something like that?
Something like that.
Way up north of Dauphin somewhere. What a great guy. So many people that I talked to or that messaged the Nooner with hockey ties just talked about how well respected he is amongst hockey circles. Yeah. And I still think it's crazy that he was an executive, had no idea he sprinkled into that part of his journey and how it kind of didn't say anything about exactly what went down for him to get out of the hockey executive world. Just said that was a story for another time. So
that would, I would like to know how much guzzling, because he's a young broadcaster, how much guzzling was done when he was doing play-by-play for the horse races or for fastball at Gordie Howe in Saskatoon. I'd be guzzling.
Okay. Waldheim snowmobile races.
Oh.
I think I should apologize to them too, because I didn't realize the magnitude of this thing, right? This was huge. There was I think they said 10,000 people at these races. 500 competitors from all across North America. I had no idea. So that was an eye-opener. And wow. I feel like I maybe threw them a little bit of disrespect, but kind of laughing it off. But I truly had no idea the magnitude of that event.
Big apologizer guy today.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to make things right. Clear the air, right?
Dennis Bayak. That was the last show recap for Arctic Spa, Regina, and Saskatoon. Let's keep her rolling, boys. Hey, how about that? You wanted to talk senior hockey. You want to talk about the bracket? And then we can tie that in with the Sask Hockey 50-50.
Yeah, Belts, why don't we do a quick high and tight? You want to just mention those sponsors? I'm going to pull up the bracket. I'm going to throw out some stat. I'm going to be stat guy this week.
Big stat guy. Yeah, so our sponsors for the bracket challenge really stepped up this year. We have GNS Marine out at Rowan's Ravine. They've donated a fishing trip. You guys aren't big fishing guys, but some of our listeners might be. 2 days carp fishing for suckers. Shink wants to go catch a 30-pound sucker. Two guys, a night in the cabin out there with GNS Marina, Rob and Donna Schultz. Great people. They got lots of rentals out there. They own the marina out there. You can rent fishing boats and everything in the summer. It's fantastic. So
catamarans? Can I get a catamaran?
No, they don't have catamarans. They may have a sailboat. I'm going to take a sailboat out. But they're great. Crazy Charlie's Building Supplies here in Regina, local company, small building company. They specialize in sheds and garages for sure. They have got the cheapest, lowest cost, I shouldn't say cheapest, lowest cost decking. What is that stuff called again?
Composite.
Composite decking in Canada. Not just Regina, not just Saskatoon, not just Canada. So they're great. And Green Bin Direct. Boz's fellas out there. Green Bin Direct.
Spencer.
Devin. Spencer.
Devin. Devo.
Yeah. Devo. Big Devo.
D-Spencer.
What do they do? What do they sell them? Like, they sell you right direct grain bins? Is that
you
like
phone them? You phone him at the shop there in Saskatoon where I dropped off his Nooner tarps. Because actually, earlier in the year, we did a weekend like pick 'em for senior hockey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was like 10 leagues and you had to do a pick 'em. And he actually won that And that's how I met him. I went up to Saskatoon. I dropped off some tarps at his office.
Because he's played on all 10 teams.
51st. Yeah, he's got intel on every league in the province. So that's how I got to know him. And he's like, hey, if there's anything coming up promotion-wise, we'd love to jump on board. So I had only met him about a month and a half ago for the first time. He wanted to be a part of the bracket challenge. He might even win the damn thing, which I think is allowed.
That would be awesome.
That would be good. Wind his own thing.
Official bracketologist. But yeah, farmers, if you're in the need for grain bins, you phone them. They'll quote you. They'll come out. They'll set them up on your site. The best setup crews in the business. They got a bit of a winter booking special going on right now.
That's so good. What do? You just book online?
I think you probably phone them, get a quote. Is probably the easiest.
People likes to chat.
You know, farmers like to talk this stuff out on the phone. They don't like to do the blind quote. But I'd phone him.
I wonder how many calls a week he gets to just come, hey, we're short a goalie. Because that would be the worst part about being a goalie. Especially if you were good and you played rec. Oh, hey, I've asked all the time.
My D2 team could really use a guy to face 50 shots tonight.
Evo. Anyway.
So bracket challenge.
Hang on a sec. Last Mountain Distilleries too.
And?
They're chucking in a package.
Yeah.
Of buzz.
Yeah. And we didn't mention GB.
GB?
You talked about
weapons.
Grain Bin Direct, and farmers call them. Well, farmers, if you got like a big, huge hill that you need moved, you probably should call GB Construction.
Yeah. And what's funny about you saying that is last show, I think Shink mentioned that he's probably in the gym working out right now. And then he sends a picture of himself working out as he's listening to the Nooner.
In Phoenix, at Barrett Jackson. Yeah, I called it all. All he has to do is buy the Batmobile, like we said, and then we're good.
He's buzzing. Yeah, GB Construction, Al Batter's absolute weapon. Make sure you support them because they are fantastic supporters of everything in our community.
We had boots on the ground last night in Raymore. Barry, what did Millsy tell you about his boots in Raymore at the Rockets? Yeah,
had him on the Sports Cage radio program. He said, packed house, Raymore fed off the crowd. Raymore got out to an early lead, and then Wynyard took over. And, Wynyard was a good team. He says his eyeballs think that this one's over in two and going to Wynyard. So that's what he said. And as far as...
Counting the Rockets out...
Yeah.
Swaps has got a steal one.
Did you guys hear the new Rockets power play jingle?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm going to. It was sent to us by someone within the Rockets before their game. It was classified. Let's just say a clip from the show is played every time the other team takes a seat in the sin bin.
Take a seat, son.
Take a seat, son.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
That's so awesome.
I don't know. I assume they unveiled it last night. I'm surprised Millsy wouldn't have said something. I'll ask Raymore Intel if we can play that on this show, because when they sent it, they said not to share it at that point because it hadn't been unveiled. But I do want to just bracket challenge. Obviously, the entries are closed. But I did want to share some of the intel on who people like in some of these series. Like the one we just talked about, 67% of people took Wynyard. So they were the favorite. Two-thirds of respondents are on the Wynyard Monarchs. Drake won game one in Bethune. 85% of people on the Drake Canucks. I believe a game starts, is that tonight? Watrous and Hafford in Provincial A, we record this on Tuesday. Yeah. 75% took Watrous.
I love it. Hafford,
Hafford Edam is super pesky. So if they win and you're in the 25% that took them, looking good.
You know when they're not pesky? When they got to drive to Watrous on a Tuesday night.
they're guzzling all the way.
They're sleepy.
Schedule makers were in one. We know that Balcaris won game one in Mooseman. 57% took Balcaris. So 42% took 43% took Mooseman. Here's the biggest favorite. 98.8% took Wadena over Jansen. Less than, or just over 1% took Jansen.
Hey, the Jets.
You know, it's called a knowledgeable crew we have.
And sleep on the Jets.
Some other just quick, interesting ones. Maybe we'll just mention some of the A brackets for today.
Give them out.
80% took Carlisle over Balgoni. 56% took Milestone over Round Lake. So 44% on the Round Lake Bears.
Who took, okay, hang on a sec. Less people took Round Lake?
Yep.
Really? Oh, yeah.
I'm on the Round Lake bandwagon.
I missed some of the series, but here's what I will say. 43% of people have Wadena winning the North in A. 35% have Keniston. And then a couple small percentages for a lot of the other teams. In the South, 17% have Drake to repeat. 16% have Musiman. 13 Balcaris. 13 Lumsden. So really wide open in the South. But your favorite for provincial champion in Provincial A with the bracket challenge? Any guesses, fellas?
Lumsden.
What in there?
20 Wadena. Wadena. It is Wadena. 25.3%. 23.6% on Keniston. And then it looks like the next highest is actually Lumsden at 5%. So Provincial A, according to our bracket challenge, is wide freaking open.
It's good.
I'm going to do it just. I know this might be boring to some, but I won't do every series, but in Provincial C, 45.8% have the Wilkie Outlaws winning. They're the consensus in Provincial C. The number two favorite, Davidson, 27.5%.
Wow.
Have I lost everybody yet?
Wilkie would be tough to beat.
That's
Play now odds. This is what we're looking at right now for Play Now Saskatchewan. And I've come this far. I've got to just do the D favorites. Might as well. We've come this far.
Rip them up.
41% on Foam Lake in D. That's a pretty big number. The next best is Redvers, 21.5%. So
Foam Lake Flyers at the Flyer Dome. Real original.
That's who the people think are going to hang banners. We'll share some of that out. Maybe on social media and some of the brackets, but those are the odds. The odds for Play Now Saskatchewan, official sports book of the Monday Nooner, official only legal sports site in the province, right? And the Nooner promo code to get signed up.
Code Nooner.
It's never been easier to sign up too. If you're out rurally now, they have some new software, so it's easy to sign up. Support the local.
You get $10. Oh, you. Put in $10, you get $50 in the sports book, $50 in the casino. It's a no-brainer. Why wouldn't a guy want $100 free to have some fun with?
Let's go through some senior hockey games coming up this weekend, and also player of the week and who got the tarp after the interview. Let's get in, and then I want to do shout outs after the interview and take a seat and all that. So let's get into the interview. 016, Great Western Brewing. But get the Great Western Light Limes. They're unbelievable. Get in on the beer deal. We still have, I got a shout out to a team that just got in on the beer deal last week. So get in on the beer deal, message us, you get a kickback. Every more you drink, the more you get a kickback. Here's country music superstar. Interviewed him. It's actually pretty interesting. It's a good guy. Brett Kissel. Yeah, a little different here in the sports cage. We got Canadian country music star Brett Kissel joining us. Brett, thanks so much for taking some time today.
No, the pleasure's all mine. It's great when we can talk a little bit of country music, but mostly a lot of sports, because that's my true passion. It really is.
Yeah, let's get into that. So you're kind of born up in that northeastern, or you grew up in that northeastern Bonnieville, Flat Lake, Alberta area. As a kid, your parents, I think, were ranchers. You grew up on a bit of a cattle ranch. Sports was a big part of your life?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, we were always watching sports. My dad was a great hockey player. He was a great goalie. He played for the Senior A Pontiacs. They challenged for the Allen Cup 3 years in a row. It's actually interesting now because I've got my dad's old pads, these old leather pads that are about 50 pounds a piece. And I love to wear those pads now on our outdoor rink out here on the farm. So, yeah, I mean, sports and hockey especially was just always around us. We played a lot of baseball and softball and stuff like that. in the summertime. But yeah, I mean, I was playing music. My brother was playing sports. He was definitely more the athlete. But now that we're older and we're watching our kids in sports and everything, it's really, really special to reminisce and sit beside my dad as he watches, you know, his grandchildren now play hockey.
That is awesome. Your dad played senior hockey. We're in big senior hockey country here, right? So do you remember going to his games as a kid, or were you too young?
You know, it's a great question. And it's one of my regrets is that I never, ever watched my dad play hockey. I saw him play, you know, some family games and some pickup games, and he'd always, you know, play net. He had a Dominic Hasek Jofa helmet with a big neck guard. He wore number 35, you know, and he's just, my dad's really, really thin, borderline scrawny, you know? So he was like a Hasek. He was a stand-up goaltender and flop around and make big saves. And now, my dad's 65. So even now, guys will come up to me after shows or at corporate events or whatever I may do, maybe on a golf course, and talk to my dad about tournaments that he won or times where he stood on his head and he was making big saves. And they're like, oh, your dad was quite the hockey player, and I never got to watch him play. So I really regret that. You know, I never saw him play.
Is there one game, maybe it was like a big provincial game or playoff game, that the guys talk to him about or that he hangs his hat on, that you've heard the story a number of times?
Yeah, there's several. I think when the Pontiacs were doing so good and they went in the late 70s and early 80s, 79, 80, 80, 81, 81, 82, 3 years in a row, they went to the Allen Cup to the finals. So there were a lot of fun stories that came from that era, you know, 40 some years ago now. And my dad always tells this story about how, and I don't know why tournaments were like this. It was like two games, total points. So they win the first game, you know, 2-1, but they lose the next game 8-5 or something like that. So they lose the tournament. You know, that kind of stuff bothered me. And my dad said the very first flight he ever took was up to, I don't know if it was Williams Lake or Quesnel. And he had never been on an airplane before. So his ears didn't pop. And so his balance was off. And so he always regrets that, not being able to play his best for, you know, the boys, because, you know, his balance was just completely off. So he said he let in a soft goal or two. But they always said my dad was a little bit as kind as he is. If anybody's ever met him, he's the nicest guy. But put skates on him and put that lumber in his hand, and he would hack you like Ron Hextall. If you came too close, he knew exactly where the padding was and wasn't. And he'd two-hand you across the ankles. And he had the biggest defenseman that would always bail him out. So, yeah, some pretty funny stories.
Big Ron Hextall, Billy Smith guy, swinging the lumber. And then, yeah, like senior hockey, right? Like the stories can go on. Did you gravitate to, like, I'm sure you played hockey and you talked about your brother. So did you gravitate, or did he kind of say, hey, when are you guys going to try goal? Or did anyone try goal? Or were you forwards? What did you play?
Now I'm a goalie, and I'm only a goalie because no one else straps on the pads. So I have a bunch of buddies. You know, it's not meant to be name droppy or whatever, but if I get to know goalies in the league, at the end of the year, especially if they go to a different team, they'll give me gloves or blockers or sticks and stuff like that. So I've got a bunch of equipment from a bunch of different guys throughout the league. And so I love to play net now, but as a kid, you know, me and my brother were forwards, but I got a guitar when I was 7, and my mom was so happy that I really gravitated towards the guitar instead of hockey, because she always said, you know, if she was on this interview conversation, she'd say she was always happier driving me to rodeos or, you know, concert halls at noon or 7 p.m. instead of 5:30 a.m. cold arenas. So when I told her I think I like music better, my mom was very happy. My dad never said he was sad about it, but my mom's happiness trumped everything. So away we went to the rodeos playing country music, and I was no longer a hockey player.
So you say you still strap on the pads. Is that with family and friends, or do you play like the odd pickup game when you guys are touring? Do you get, because I know, you know, there's other guys when they're out touring, they bring their gear and they play. Do you do any of that when you're touring?
I used to, you know, in kind of previous chapters of my life, but Cecilia, my wife and I, we've got 4 kids now. So when we tour, if there's any time off, it's really spent with the kids. We're finding a really unique activity in that particular city, whether it be Regina to Winnipeg to Whitehorse to Yellowknife to St. John's, Newfoundland. We travel is really important to us. So because of that, I don't get a chance to do that. Where when we play some of these arenas, or you know, there's a field house that's connected to the arena in these AJHL markets where the junior hockey clubs play, or the WHL markets or OHL markets, I'll just put on goalie pads and equipment from these guys. Here's the challenge though. I'm 5'7" and some of these damn goalies are 6'5" and their pads are as tall as me. So they laugh and you can barely move in that. And I was never a good goalie anyway. I just do it because nobody else does it.
Yeah.
But I'm a little crazy because I asked these guys and they're like, oh, Brett Kissel's a net. We're going to take it easy. I'm like, no, I want you to fire a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot from the blue line. I want to see what that's like. And I took a ringer off the noggin once. And I was a little dazed because I didn't get my glove up fast enough. And I took a slap shot right off the cheek, you know, and those masks are good.
Yeah.
Those masks are good. I'll tell you, if this was 1979, I'd probably have a broken jaw.
Your dad would be in the Bonneville hospital if he took that. So you're more of like a Darren Pang stature goalie and you're wearing Roman Čechmánek style gear. Pretty. So when you took this shot, was it a concert day or was it just?
Yeah. I was with the Drumheller Dragons down in Drumheller, Alberta. And then we had this thing where we had a shootout. I'm really a bad goalie. Like that's the thing. I'm bad. But one of their players came in and I made a Dominik Hasek style save. So all the other stuff that we filmed, we deleted it. But I saved that save and I text that to my friends from time to time. Yeah. You know, you make one big save in your life. And of course, I got to milk it.
Well, no, and the reason I ask, because you're playing Friday coming up here in Regina, and we got a 3:00 Friday skate, and we're always looking for a goalie. So if things change, you let me know. We'll find you gear to get you out there. Let's get into your favorite team, the Edmonton Oilers. And I hear you're close with a lot of the guys, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big Oiler guy. But it's been another roller coaster season for you guys as fans, and it's only late January, February here. Like it was pretty grim there early in the season.
It was like a Disney movie where you have all this adversity at the beginning, you have all this hype, and then you lose so many games, and there's just no way you're going to make the playoffs, because to win 70% of your games for the rest of the season is not really likely. Just to be in a playoff spot. And then you turn the Jets on, you know, and now you've got 13 wins in a row where it was, you know, a little while back. And then you sign Corey Perry and then everything is just, I still don't know what to make of this roller coaster season, because it's unlike anything that I think has ever happened in the NHL as long as I've been alive, you know, for 33 years and really watching NHL hockey for 25 years. And I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this other than maybe, and this is a good thing to relate it to, 2019 St. Louis Blues in the basement January 1st, or might've been at the All-Star break. They turn on the Jets following a hot goalie in Jordan Binnington that nobody ever knew. And they march all the way to win the Stanley Cup against Boston in 2019. So I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, there's going to be this Disney-like Cinderella story for Connor McDavid and the Oilers.
I love Oiler fans' optimism. It's like Buffalo Bill fans, right? It's like,
yeah. You're right. And what happened there? My wife and I were in Jamaica and we're watching at the resort. And I'm thinking, you know what? You got to go and you're just going to get the field goal and you'll see where this goes in overtime. To miss a field goal like that, and all the girls, all the wives really felt a lot of empathy for the kicker. You know, they think about his family. They think about how upset the, you know, Bills fans are going to be. And then one of my buddies named Terry Bandera, and he played for the Regina Pats. He was captain of the Pats, back in the 80s sometime. Big fighter, and he played a bit for the New York Islanders. He's a friend of mine. And he said, listen, you have one job and that's your job. And if you hire a plumber and he doesn't do your pipes and they burst it when it's minus 50, you don't have empathy for the plumber. he messed up. So he was saying, you know, and I never thought about it that way because I was feeling bad for this kicker too. But then you think about, you got one job, you get paid a couple million bucks and you don't make a 30-yard field goal. Like it was devastating for Bills fans.
I'm trying to explain to my 12-year-old son after it happens. And he's like, what a pigeon. How did he miss that? And I'm like, you have no idea, Buffalo Bill fans from like the old days and how many missed field goals and the heartbreak with that franchise. But you mentioned the Corey Perry signing, because that's one of the things I wanted to ask you. It's almost like that Evander Kane signing, right? Guy's in a little bit of trouble, but then he's got the grit and the sandpaper and a guy that's probably going to be a perfect playoff player. You like the signing? That it probably didn't catch you off guard.
No, it didn't catch me off guard. I was very excited about the signing. You put all the controversy away and you just put it into the container of, is this guy a good player? And is this guy a good fit for the club? And if you just don't ask any other questions, just ask those two questions and give me an answer. And talking with my friends, because we're all armchair quarterbacks, right? We're all very excited because he's a great fit for the club and he's that grit that's going to make us really difficult to play against. You look at the last couple of years for the Oilers in the playoffs and you think about, we got through LA. It wasn't easy to get through LA and we were tired. We were really, really tired. And then you get to the second round or the third round, whether it was Vegas or Colorado in the last couple of years, and the Oilers become an easy team to play against. So their stars are able to do what their stars are able to do, and our stars can't do what we're supposed to do. Corey Perry makes it more difficult. It really, really does. And experience is important, especially what I would call recent experience. And I've got this theory that all these other, everybody else listening, Barney, are either going to roll their eyes or maybe think I'm making a good point. But when we had Duncan Keith for that Stanley Cup experience, his Stanley Cup experience was 2015. That was several years ago. Now, even though Corey Perry won his cup in 2007, he's been to, over the last 4 years, he's been to several Stanley Cup finals. You look at what he did in Dallas in 2020. You look at Montreal in 21 and Tampa in 22. That's only a few seasons away. He's 35, but he's got recent experience with the recent NHL, the same way we still play the game.
Yeah.
2015 was a long time ago, or 2014, you know, whenever it was for Duncan Keith. So it's a much better signing for a guy who's got real world experience and I think can be a game changer.
And it's kind of, for lack of a better term, he's playing on house money now, because probably didn't think he was going to come back to the league. Maybe there was some doubt. Now he's playing with the best player in the world on this team that's on this upswing. You know, his mental state's got to be, and I know he's going through some things, but where he is, he's probably like, didn't think I was going to be here 3 weeks ago.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I don't understand anything about sports psychology, but as a high performer and somebody, you know, who has a lot of pressure in my life for whatever it's worth, I can think about Corey Perry and think about the lows that he must have felt over the last several weeks and months to now be giving a second chance. When you talk about playing with house money, the psychology and the pendulum swinging in such a big way for him to now get a second chance to play with such an extraordinary team, he's got a lot to prove, but he has no pressure to do that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he's just there, and I know he's going to score a big goal. Mark my words, he's going to score one of the biggest goals of the playoffs. And you're going to remember this conversation. You're going to play this audio back. It might be an overtime winner. It might be a game winner. It might be a game-tying goal, and it's going to be big. It's going to be big for the Oil sometime in the playoffs, and we're going to remember that in a big, big way, and we're going to say, aha, that's the reason.
The Brett Kissel hot take. It's going to be played everywhere, right? I love it. Okay, so what do the Oilers still need to add for a playoff run? What do you think they're going to add in the trade deadline? Defensemen?
If they can, that would be terrific. Our defensemen are playing really, really well, but if there's a play to make, Ken Holland is going to do it. I know it's cup or bust for him.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But the reality here is that I think from this moment on, there has to be this incredible, not bubble. Bubble is not the right word because that's like coddling, but this protective force field around Stuart Skinner and his mental state. Whatever he wants, if he wants to party, party with him. If he wants you to not talk to him, don't talk to him for 6 more months. Because you know what? It would be great to have a name like an Andre Vasilevsky. Man. Or it'd be great to ride a guy like Carey Price, like Montreal did in the pandemic. We don't have that name, but we've got a guy that is capable of winning us the Stanley Cup if he gets hot.
Like you said, who knew Jordan Binnington that year? Nobody.
Who thought Aiden Hill was going to do anything? You know, Laurent Brossoit was also next in line for Vegas. Like, don't get me wrong. If you've got a name, that's phenomenal. But we even beat names. We've beat names before. Look at Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper or Frasos or whatever his name was in, who won the series for Colorado against us. Like, you don't necessarily need a name, this marquee name, but you need to protect your goalie at all costs to make sure that the defense is not making any mistakes, and you give Stuart Skinner whatever he wants. I swear to God, this team just needs to rally behind this guy and give him all the love and attention and just anything he wants to make sure that he is in the best mental state to make some big stops for us.
I love your passion. This is awesome. And there'd probably be nothing better than singing the anthem in a Stanley Cup final series and for the Oilers. Okay. You're a 1990, I think, born guy. You're super young. What's your favorite Oiler memory that you watched with your eyeballs?
Oh,
like
I,
TV
I, great
or
question.
Or like, yeah.
I was there in the building. It's Oilers in Dallas. Marc-Andre Bergeron is having a tough game. It's 2007, January. My brother and I, we get tickets from a scalper. We're sitting third row of the second balcony. You know where I'm going with this, eh?
I was a huge Mike Modano Dallas fan. Continue.
So I really had a lot of respect for 1999 Cup winning Dallas Stars. Brett Hull, one of my favorite players. Neuendijk, you remember Grant Marshall, Darian Hatcher, Pierre Turgeon, Stu Barnes, Eddie the Eagle. You know
Brian
what I mean?
Scrutland.
Like, yeah, what a great team. Sergei Zubov, he smoked a pack of darts. in the intermission. Like this, so the Dallas Stars always had our number, but this is now fast forward a bunch of years. This is 07. I'm 16 years old. I'm not 17 yet. And Marc-Andre Bergeron has coughed up the puck for 2 goals. Of course, he's going to cough up the puck for the third goal. Gives it to Patrick Steffen. We've got an empty net, and Patrick Steffen goes in to the empty net. Misses it. Well, our defenseman picks it up, gets it, fires it all the way to Ryan Smith, who holds it up against the boards, absorbs a check, gets it to Alex Hemsky with 0.3 seconds left, who scores on Marty Turco, and we tie it. And I remember Peter Labardius, if I pronounce his name properly, now watching this clip a million times, he says, Bergeron coughs up the puck, and there's Stefan, and he's going to ice it, or at least I thought he was going to ice it, and he goes, he can't even collect his thoughts, and Hemsky scores! Do you believe what we just saw? And Ray Ferraro is doing the color. And Ray Ferraro, Barney, is so angry. He says, Patrick Steffen, you should be embarrassed for what you just did. That does not belong in the National Hockey League. And I love it. He's angry at Patrick Steffen. And Patrick Steffen has never lived it down. I don't know where he played after that. But my brother and I jump up and down. And we're hugging each other like we won the Stanley Cup. We can't believe it. That's my favorite Oilers memory, was being there to watch Patrick Steffen in the blooper of all bloopers.
Oh, and how the puck rolled. I remember Ferraro just ripping him, but it's like, how did that thing bounce? He went backhand. Super weird. The one, again, not an Oilers fan, but a Dallas Stars fan, Todd Marchant blowing by Grant Ledyard. And Harry Neal said it was Darian Hatcher, but it's Grant Ledyard. He beats him and then beats Andy Moog and wins that series. Like that, I forget what year that was, but that was epic.
That was 97? 99 or 2000. Or 90, it could be 97.
97, I think. You would have been 7 years old. So a little. Okay, last Oiler question.
Yeah.
Favorite Oiler all time? Probably a guy you've met.
Jordan Eberle. Yeah, Ebbs.
Regina
Ebbs. Ebbs. Ebbs is number one. We've got such a great friendship. McDavid is so easy. He and I are very, very close too. He's a great friend. So that would be tied for first. You know, they're really good friends of mine and Cecilia's. Love Ryan Smith. I loved the way that he played the game. Doug Weight, number 39. He was a great Oiler. But then we had Gretzky on our team. You know, I never got a chance to watch Gretzky ever play a game, whether he, of course, not with Edmonton, but never even with LA or New York. But I've met him several times. And when you shake Gretzky's hand and you say hi to Wayne, it's probably the same way, you know, a boxing fan feels when he shook Muhammad Ali's hand or Tyson's hand. If you love golf and you get a chance to sit down, have a glass of wine with Jack or Tiger, it's exactly the same way you feel when you're surrounded by greatness with the great one.
Tiger probably guzzles. All right, let's get into some music stuff here now. Exciting coming up Friday. It's the start of this leg of the tour because you're going hard in February, like a long grinding road trip in the playoffs. So people that have seen you before, you've been around, high energy, awesome shows. What's going to be different in this show and this tour?
We've got a lot to celebrate because last time I was in Regina, you know, for a proper show at the Kinexus Arts Center was 2018. So you fast forward 6 years and you think about all the songs that CKRM has played and all of the stations across Canada have now played. It's a completely different set list because we've got more hits to play. You know, we've had a steady string of some gold records and number ones, and it's really special to get a chance to play those songs and harness the energy that we had in Craven this summer, opening for Tim McGraw. We told everybody that we're coming back to Regina, and when we do, you know, we hope that we can, you know, harness that energy, and we're going to do that on Friday. So what's different? We've got way more songs. We've got way better songs, and it's a 10th anniversary celebration too. You know, from my first single started with a song to my current single called Two of Us with Cooper Allen. You know, we've had 20-some songs, and it's going to be a magical set list, so the Kinexus is going to be rocking.
Lots of Regina chat here. I love it. I'm with my, I think Gabrielle might have been 7. Roman might have been 9. We're going to see Garth Brooks, Mosaic Stadium. Awesome. The storm rolling in, a little bit dicey. Oh, Brett Kissel's opening. Oh, good young, you know, Canadian guy, all that. What happened? Take us through that night because you're supposed to open for them, 55,000 storm. Then you get to go on stage, like all the cliche stuff aside, take us through that whole experience.
The word epic is overused today, but it was an epic story, and it was an emotional roller coaster because it's the most exciting gig of my life. And you know, our sound check is unbelievable. We're playing in front of an empty Mosaic Stadium at sound check at 3 p.m. and Garth Brooks is sitting right there. He's sitting right there watching my full 1 hour sound check, and he's just loving it. You know, he loved the covers that we chose. He loved our transitions and everything. And we played to him and 55,000 empty seats. And he puts his arm around me. And I've known Garth for a long time. We've done, you know, 20-some shows together at this point. And so Garth, but the storm rolls in and our sound check is cut short. But that's fine. It's only going to last like 2 hours. Like, gates open at 6. Like, we're fine. But the rain lasts and it's lightning and you can't play in the lightning and the rain lasts and lasts and lasts. I'm supposed to be on stage at 7:30 and Garth comes into my dressing room, not a manager or a production guy. It's him. You know, he's just in a t-shirt and jeans. And he says, hey, we're going to watch the weather. Plan on cutting your set short. You know, I know you were going to play an hour, plan for just 30 minutes. It's all we got time for. And I'm like, yep, no, I understand. No problem. So get ready. We'll get you on in about half an hour and you can just play the last 30 minutes. Half an hour goes by. He says, hey, I hate to break it to you. And he's the guy doing it. Again, not a manager. Comes into the dressing room. Hate to break it to you. But by the time the storm clears, it's going to be 9:15. We can't get you on because I got to get on. I got to play for 2 hours or more. And we have a curfew. We got to be done by 11:30. So I'm so sorry we can't get you to play, but I'll make it up to you. I'm so sorry. And of course, you know, I put on a brave face. No problem, Garth. Everybody's here to see you. I understand. Don't worry about it. I take off my cowboy gear, but I'm sad. Like, I'm really sad that I miss out on an opportunity. Well, now I'm literally in just a t-shirt and my underwear. And he comes back through the door 5 minutes later because I'm just taking off my cowboy outfit. And here's a funny story. He sees me. I'm wearing Ellen DeGeneres underwear, you know, with the Ellen band or whatever. because my wife and I, we've loved her show for forever. And he's like, oh my God, I got to take a picture. So he gets out his iPhone. He takes a picture of me with no shirt on and Ellen underwear. I'm like, why'd you take a picture? He's like, oh, I got to send it to Ellen.
Ellen.
Like, just a very cool flex of me and my dad bod, you know, gut hanging out and everything, but whatever. Okay, so I digress. Then he says, you know what? He says, how many Garth songs do you know? I says, I know every one. He says, well, prove it. He says, we'll get you up to do Friends in Low Places, last song of the night. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Absolutely. So I put my cowboy gear on. I go and I watch his show, you know, from a secret place. And then he brings me out and he gives me this 3-minute introduction, as you remember.
Yep.
And I walk out there and he gives me, you know, a spare headset microphone, and we play Friends in Low Places for an 11-minute extravaganza with confetti and fireworks. He lets me start the song, sing the song. Like, that's like Gretzky, you know, saying, here, I'm gonna give you the pass and you're gonna have a tap in for overtime and you're gonna win the Stanley Cup. That's how I felt. It was unbelievable.
So there was no rehearsing. That was all off the cuff.
All off the cuff.
Oh my.
Everything about it.
That is unbelievable. That might be one of the best stories that I've heard. Oh, that's so cool. Okay. I'm a 77, so I'm in high school, mid 90s, right? Country. I'm kind of hiding my country CDs, you know, like the pure country. I think I am the biggest Chris Cummings fan in the world. And he doesn't tour anymore, right? He doesn't. But when you go back to when you were in high school, when you were younger, who's the Canadian country artists that you remember just like driving and listening to, and that is maybe inspired you or that you just loved? Canadian.
Well, I loved Chris Cummings, and I haven't heard anybody else say that they love Chris Cummings. My favorite song of his was called I Waited. You know, I wanted to say I love you at the perfect time. And like a fool, I waited till she said goodbye. Like, and no one remembers Chris Cummings, but I love Chris Cummings and I love the Johnner Brothers.
Oh.
Brad Johnner and the Johnner Brothers. You know, my brother and me, I loved that song. I love 10 More Miles Till Saturday Night. I love, you know, that one horse town, always be around. So many songs. You're the light of my life. And, you know, I loved his music so much, Brad Johnner, that I researched who his producer was. And his producer is Bart McKay from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And Bart McKay has produced all my records. We won 3 Junos together, 20-some Canadian Country Music Awards. And we just harnessed the momentum that Brad Johnner and the Johnner Brothers had and, you know, poured a lot of that into my career. George Canyon, George Fox.
Oh, I was going to say Aaron a little Prichette. George Fox. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
George Fox really took me under his wing. I played a lot of shows with him when I was a kid. Yeah. So I'm very, very, very lucky to have had Paul Brandt. You know, God, he was nice to me, you know, and still is. He's a great friend. So, yeah, but I love that you said Chris Cummings. I mean, there's nobody in the business I haven't met. Charlie Major.
Yeah.
Man, Charlie Major is a superstar. Love him, too. A
lot of good Canadian stuff from back there, right? Like, it's just awesome. Okay. I know we don't have a lot of time left, but just some more kind of music stuff. Music videos. Again, I was CMT, right? When CMT was new and Shania's videos and all that, and you're just like a teenage boy. You made some, I like the music videos. I was showing my daughter when we were that song. We were watching it yesterday and I'm like, God, that's that little tavern in the basement. Just makes a guy want to have a whiskey, and then the love story and the kids and all that. And I looked like, I think one of the best storytelling music videos country-wise of all time was Travis Tritt, Tell Me I Was Dreaming. Like, that just makes tugs at your heartstrings. Do you like making music videos? Is it a long process? Do you get a lot of say in what you get to do?
Yeah, I get most of the say for sure. Like, between me and the director, we're coming up with ideas. You know, the record label, you know, also dictates it because they're the ones paying for it too. You know, so there are some really, really unique videos that we've done. One that I love that didn't get a lot of credit was Night in the Life. It was a single I had a couple of years ago. And I filmed that all with my family. So everything, we followed the lyrics to a T. And, you know, if there's there's blue lights breaking up a parking lot fight. And it's my sister-in-law, who's a police officer, breaking up a fight between my two brother-in-laws. you know, so like everything was literal and it was all my family acting in it. So that was really cool. 3-2-1 was an outstanding music video. We won video of the year for that at the CCMAs. That's a 6-7 minute action movie, really, that video. But then now at this point, sometimes they're not as fun as they used to be. And I'm not being pessimistic or I'm not being ungrateful, but I used to love it. But now I look at some of the videos that we've done and I understand that we got to do it, but I want to get back on the road and play more shows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's just because I had a 2-year span over the course of COVID, where, you know, I had, it's not an identity crisis, but you know, you try to evaluate where you're at in your career and in your life. So it's just that 2-year span where I was trying to find the joy in everything, but it was just a dark cloud just happened to be over me at that time. But I'm out of that now. And the music video we just did in the Bahamas with Cooper Allen for Two of Us that came out last week. That's the epitome of fun. And it was really good to do it.
I was going to say you were just in Jamaica. I'm like, didn't record a video, but there you go. Okay. So these last ones are just rapid fire. So you got one answer, some quick ones. Your favorite song to perform live?
I wish I could give you an answer, but I can't because it all depends on the crowd. It's either going to be something super sentimental, like I Didn't Fall in Love with Your Hair. It's going to be a rocker like anthem. So I can't, no answer.
You're not on stage. You're with your family, whatever. You're doing maybe some karaoke or whatever. What's your go-to that you do? That's you won't do it on stage, but you do it maybe around your wife and friends. And
Aerosmith. And I don't want to miss a thing.
Nice, nice. What's the artist right now that you're listening to, Spotify or iTunes, that you're really into? Any genre of music?
It's Cooper Allen. He's my buddy. This guy's blowing up. He's outstanding.
And one thing that you haven't done that's on your bucket list, country music wise?
I'd love to open for George Strait.
Oh, nice. What's your favorite George Strait song?
Oceanfront Property.
Classic. Hey, this was a lot of fun. You gave me more time than we thought. Great stuff. Can't wait to see the show Friday night.
Oh, thanks, dude. Well, I really appreciate getting a chance to call in, and the bus will be rolling in day before, so we'll be setting up at the Conexus, and it's gonna be I guess that makes it tomorrow. Doesn't matter. I'm on tour, it doesn't matter, but I'm very, very excited to see you at the show, bud.
Right on. Can't wait to see it. Okay. Have a good one.
Okay. See you, dude.
Bye-bye.
Interview wrap-up. 2020 Geomatics Malcolm Vanstone land survey subdivision season is a 12-month of the year game, especially when you get weather like this to go put some stakes in the ground in January, February now, I guess. 2020 Geomatics, they have expanded. They've got a second location in Moose Jaw. And I saw they just put out a little tweet welcoming their newest employee based out of Moose Jaw, Corbin Christie. That's a good name.
That is a good name.
Sounds like Corpus Christi, the Stingrays or whatever they were back in the old Kurt Wickenheiser day. Corbin Christie, professional land surveyor, just joined the team in January. So shout out him. Says he's a big sports NFL watching guy. Likes the outdoors, likes to fish as well. So he's also got a quad. That's the newest edition, 2020.
Big AI guy, too, I bet.
Man, this AI stuff.
It's cool, eh?
It's really cool. Before we talk, I do want to tell a quick story about the AI, but the Brett Kissel concert, you say tomorrow. I just want to confirm that would be February 2nd?
Friday night.
Okay, thank you.
Tickets still available. Conexus Arts Center. Get them.
Friday night? Why wouldn't a guy tie into one? BK. Big Speckle Park guy. Malcolm Vanstone. So the last show, we talked a little bit about the Maple Creek stinky cans. And it picked up some steam online. And one thing I did notice is that Maple Creek gets they get their guard up because they don't want to be associated with this SO because it's not technically in the community. It doesn't pay taxes to the town. It pays taxes to the rural municipality. So
right.
They're very quick to defend that the businesses not in their community.
Yeah. They don't pay sewage tax because they just have a freaking massive hole under the shitter, and that's where everything
just
lives.
It just drains out back under the into the ground.
It's like a big outhouse.
So how this all comes about, and you might have saw on social media these Stinky Cans jerseys that I was about to order online with that hockey jersey generator site. It all came from Malcolm Vanstone because he is, in fact, a big AI guy. So he sent me those first logos, and I don't know if you saw the first ones, but it was like the spelling was wrong. Like it spelled maple wrong on one and stinky wrong on the other. And he said, yeah, it's a little loose on that, but basically you just go on this website or whatever and you just type in what you want.
Yeah.
So he's like, just typed in hockey logo, Maple Creek Stinky Cans. And then he sent the picture of that gas station that it actually looks like. So he uploaded that photo, and that's why the jersey kind of looks like that gas station.
Yeah, so yeah,
but it's pretty really remarkable. It's really remarkable. Like you literally just type that stuff into a website, and then
It takes second. Like it's a second. Duke, it just pops up.
It's almost crazy. Scary. Yeah, if I was a graphic designer, I'd be shitting my drawers, I think. With that, but yeah, that's how that came to be. I don't think we're going to be printing the shirts or printing the jerseys for the Maple Creek Stinky Cans, but
interview wrap up.
That's how that came to be for 2020.
That was good.
Geomatics. Hey, we did say before the interview, can we go into shout outs now?
Sure.
Because before the interview, we said we were going to talk about that 50-50, and we haven't done that yet, and I don't want to forget. Hockey Saskatchewan with the largest provincial playoff 50-50. In the history of half and halves, as they call them in some of the small towns. It's a big fundraiser for the grassroots of Hockey Saskatchewan. So all the money goes back into the communities, minor hockey communities in the province. What do they call it? Saskatchewan's biggest hockey 50-50. So they've got early bird prizes. Every couple of weeks they do early birds. So the earlier you buy your tickets, the better chance you have to win something.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, they got like some packages from some different resorts and things like that.
The Highway 1 Esso.
Maple Creek. $10 gas card.
1 hour free, stay.
Free bathroom trip.
Let's just see what he said here.
Check you can go online and find it. It's going to be huge. We'll be talking about it a lot, but some good cash to be won.
And yeah, no limit. Is there no limit?
There's got to be a limit, but it's so big that if you want it, you wouldn't have to.
You got to know your limit.
Okay, provincialplayoffs50.ca. Provincialplayoffs50.ca. Five cash draws happening. One already happened, actually, but it goes right up until April. Every 2 weeks, they do an early bird. All proceeds go to the Minor Hockey Association grant program, redistributed back into the communities. Over $200,000 has already been dished out since they started doing this to the community. So it's a win-win.
Awesome. Yeah.
Let's get in. That's your shout out, right?
That's my one and only shout out for Synergy AG.
Oh, really?
Local crop input retailer. High and tight.
H&T.
What do you guys got?
I got Tanner Craig. I got the Beer Wolves in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, a rec team. They got in on the GW deal. I love it. Beer Wolves. I said, well, what league do you play in? Like, he's like, oh, there's teams in North Battleford. I think there's a couple of small towns. I'm like, hell yeah.
Awesome.
Boys get after it in North Battleford. So the Beer Wolves are going to get in on the GW beer deal. I love it.
I got the town of Strasburg. They're in Barney's favorite craft hockeyville. He loves craft hockeyville. They're in that. So, hey, if you're anywhere in the Saskatchewan area, give them a shout out. Do whatever you need to do. Get up there, vote for them, get them some cash. That's a great community, near and dear to my heart. And get involved in it and share it out. And hopefully we can get them some money. I know we're not going to win because we just get screwed up here every time, but do what you can. There's obviously some big prizes for them regardless. So, help them out.
The house that Nick Schultz built.
Schultzy.
The Schultz family, yeah. Hey, remember that guy? I think he was actually messaging us on one of the social platforms. He was from England, and he's a big fan, and he was he
Australia or England?
No, there was an England guy, because he's like, we do have pro hockey here in England. We're like, oh yeah, we're quite aware. I need that guy to message us back. Please.
The guy anyone that's from here that's playing there?
I think he's just lives there. I don't know. He's an English, the pro league in English. You know who you are out there. Message, please. Message back. Message us back. You can blame it on.
I got another shout out too. We can get into this a little bit right now. Boz, hockey card guy in Regina. I talked about this a couple shows ago. They found a box case, sealed case of Gretzky rookie Opeachy cards. And so, took them. Go ahead.
So they found the full set, right?
No,
full
it's not sets, a set.
But it's the full set.
It's a case. So I guess this guy used to buy cases. I don't know if he was like a card shop or whatever. He'd buy cases of cards. He'd open the boxes and they'd all be like different. Like if you were going to go to the store and buy a pack of hockey cards, but he had a case of boxes, right? So it was like, I think it was like 16 or 19 or whatever boxes. He had
big boxes full of little boxes.
Right. So, and he would buy them and he would take them out and he'd make sets with them and then sell the sets. Cause back then, I guess that was the thing. But apparently this box got kind of forgot about, stuffed in a corner, all his other shit piled on top of it, like a bunch of other hockey cards. He was really into this stuff. They found it and it was 1980. So like, oh, it's probably worth something. They looked it up. They're like, oh, it's probably worth about $350,000. Still, that's great. Like, wow, $350,000 fine. But then somebody's like, hey, you should just like crack the top open and look, because the way they used to do these is they would put the next year. So it was like 79-80. He flipped it open. Sure enough, it was 79-80. It wasn't 80. And so the somebody's like, this is Gretzky rookie year. So the possibility they say is there's plus or minus, there's obviously, you know, variables math in there, guy. But there could be up to 27 untouched Gretzky rookie cards in there. And it's going to be really hard to get a PSA 10, like the perfect card, because of the way they cut them back then. But if he does get one, the last one sold for $5 million US. But the current bid on the box at Heritage Auctions, they say there's about 3 weeks left in the auction. It's at $1,325,000 right now. U.S. funds.
I talked to Name Cardinal, indigenous hockey card, like unreal guy, right?
Yeah, super guy.
So he said the average is, I think there's 20 boxes in that case.
Something like that, yeah.
And the average is 1.75 cards. So in this Wayne Gretzky rookie cards,
yeah,
per box. So there could be, like if you went 1.75 times 20, you're in the 30s. But yeah, I think 20 is a safe bet.
Well, they said 20. They said it'll be plus or minus 27.
So
right there. So,
devil's advocate guy.
Yeah.
Why don't they look and see how many are in there, so you know exactly what you're buying? But you eventually got to open them, right, to know what you get.
What if Buddy buys them, just puts them in his vault, like big rich guy just puts them in his vault.
But it's not worth anything if you don't know what's in there.
I don't know.
No,
I
but it's
just, that's what they say.
I have this box of stuff that's worth a lot. Nobody knows exactly what it is, but it's
they made a fucking TV show off that. It was like Storage Wars.
Yeah, like guys will still do that. Guys,
so they're never going to open it and see how many Gretzky rookies are in there?
Maybe, maybe not.
Or maybe he just sells each box.
Maybe he'll do that. You never know. There's lots. I'm very interested to see where this all goes.
Do you think whoever buys this is buying this to resell to make money? Is it a prestige thing? Like
I think it's the latter, and I think they're going to keep it. Like, it's not going to get resold right away. It's going to be something that's going to be sat on.
Really?
How much money do you need to have to buy that to sit on it? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry.
Lots of money. See, guys will do that this year. What guys are going to do this year, me and the rookie card guy, we talked about this, and guys are going to buy the Bedard year. They're going to buy a case of the Bedard rookie young gun case, and they're going to keep it sealed. That's what guys did with the McDavid. They paid like two. I mean, it'll be different now, but back in McDavid year, they paid like $1,700 for the box, sat on it for like 6 years, 7 years. The guy was an absolute weapon, and they would sell that box for like $8,000 or $9,000.
But okay, so devil's advocate of devil's advocate guy. Yeah. What about, in a case like that, what if you keep a box but they run the numbers and all the cards have been spoken for. So then you got, you're the loser with the box. And you're like, bad box don't worry about it. Fuck, it ain't in there.
To me, this is,
I know.
It's like gambling for really rich people.
But that's why you got to, that's why you got to keep the sealed case, because in the case, you're guaranteed so many Bedard cards, like plus or minus, same as the Gretzky thing, right?
I don't get it.
I know.
Big I don't get it. Guy.
Anyway, I don't love it.
I don't see the value.
I think it's the coolest shit. And the thing is, so I watched a video. There's a video on YouTube. They were in the guy's basement. And I'm 98% sure I know the guy. Like, I'm 98% sure I've been in that basement buying cards from this guy. And it was crazy. Like, I mean, when I seen the basement, I understood how he couldn't have found it, because it was like your basement, Shink, that had a path to your bathroom and everything else was cards to the ceiling, to the walls. It was insanity. This guy, it was insane. He had millions upon millions upon millions of cards down there. It was crazy.
I hope that it's he went online, made the boxes AI style, and there's just, he sells it and there's nothing in there.
Them. They're like just perfectly weighted.
Don Ross baseball cards from 1997.
Maybe it's Malcolm. Malcolm selling off his 94 baseball cards.
I had two texts being like, is this Malcolm Vanstone, the guy who you discredited for all of his cards? Could this not be the biggest heist in the history of sports cards?
Crazy.
Could this all be a scam?
That's what I just said.
Well, there was that Paul guy that started the Prime. What was his? It's his name.
Jake Paul.
There's a thing on YouTube about him buying like a $3.5 million case of Pokemon cards and got screwed. They were like counterfeit or something. That's crazy. Sorry. It could obviously happen, but
let's see this play out.
Yeah. What a world. Is this still shout outs? Where are we
still
right now?
Still shout outs.
Grand scheme of things.
Hey. It's quickly, I want to rattle off. You rattle off Richie Brothers. It's always auction season.
It is literally always auction season. I've been busy the last couple of weeks setting up farm sales for this spring. This weather has been conducive to get equipment pulled out and up for sale. So if you have anything you're looking to sell, whether it's one piece of equipment, a full dispersal, a parcel of land, or some hockey cards valued at $3 million, I think we would dabble into those unreserved auction style. That's the way to sell it all, rbauction.com. It is always auction season.
Yes. And the Last Mountain Distillery player of the week tarp, Last Mountain Distillery, Blums in Saskatchewan. It's always local. They use everything local and they support local by employing local people as well. So we love Last Mountain Distillery. Eric Papadinic, 2 goals for Wynyard in that game one win over Raymore. So Eric Papadinic walked away with a Last Mountain Distillery senior hockey weapon tarp that Josh Miller, boots on the ground, gave to him.
Goaltender, yeah.
You want, we know what, collectible corner for high-tech profiles. We already kind of did.
Kind of did.
Oh, yeah, it's done.
That was extensive. That completely tied into shout-outs. So, but high-tech profile, hey,
yeah.
Weapons. Talked to Trent the other day too. He's like, you guys got to get out here. You got to come out and see what we do. And we do got to get out there. And it is, I've talked to some guys that say like, I've been out there before and walked around there. It is pretty cool. The stuff that they can do in the machines that they have out there, that like the presses and the cutters and the rollers and all the stuff that they take these huge pieces of steel and just chuck it around and manhandle it and put it into positions that it's just like, holy. So pretty cool stuff. Saskatoon and Regina, 24 hours a day, they're buzzing that stuff out of there. Anything you can think of needs manufactured, cut, made, rolled, fire pits. They do it all.
Let's get into take a seat.
Do I have anything for take a seat? Rusty shovel. You know what I have for rest for take a seat? The ad read for the rusty shovel. That's what I have. The rustyshovel.ca. Design, supply, support, they do it all, whether you're a one-off guy like Shane trying to make the cabin look nice, or if you're a supplier, contractor, go to the Rusty Shovel. Right now, they've got winter booking specials going on. It's basically like, let's make a deal. Like, go down there and make a deal with Stefan. They've got paving stones, all sorts of different supplies in stock and 2023 pricing, even though we're in 2024.
And you can send him, like, if you want to do the work yourself, send him pictures and he tells you how good you did and how like you should work for him and you're amazing at and he makes you feel really good. So even if it's not good, he'll tell you it's good. I know he tells me how good of a job I always do when I send him my pictures.
Let's make a deal. Yeah. That show, that game show, my mom, all she watches is the Game Show Network all day. So when I go to Saskatoon, I watch all these old game shows. And I don't think it's that one, but that show is actually pretty interesting. There was
they redid that one, right? With Wayne Brady. It lasted about 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. The old guys of the 70s and 80s game shows are absolute chauvinistic creeps. Like
Richard Dawson.
It is awful. So bad. Watch all these things. And then like they go up and they kiss the women. And it's just like this should actually be borderline taken off the air. Not to be cancel culture guy, but I was like, oh, I can't believe this used to fly.
Awesome. It's crazy. So funny.
Yeah. Take a seat.
The shovel. I got some. You want me to start?
Yeah. Go.
Okay. You guys will both relate to this one. Take a seat. Toe drag guy.
Take a seat, son.
In fun. Like, don't be toe dragging. You look
What's
like a pigeon.
The odd ones.
Barry's a toe drag guy.
Okay. I'll reiterate. The odd toe drag, if you can do it and you're good enough and you get it done every once in a while, that's fine. But toe drag guy that like toe drags and gets it knocked away every time, but just continues to toe drag because he watched TikTok videos of Connor Bedard. You're not Bedard. You're playing freaking Friday afternoon hockey. But hey, fast puck.
I will say your Friday 3 p.m. was I hadn't played for a couple months. That was an eye opener. I was struggling out there.
Well, so was I played for 2 weeks. I was hurting.
Like that's pretty good pace for a Friday 3 p.m. or take a seat myself. I was brutal.
It's like the buzz. Yeah, it's fun.
Is it always that fast?
When we actually know it's faster when faster. We have real D-men.
Yeah, we're missing Mikey and Shelly on the back end there.
I like my 3 p.m.er slower.
Might take a seat. Guess what it is?
Toe drag guy.
Brandon Hockey Tournament.
That's this weekend.
Take a seat, son.
It's coming up this weekend. Roman got hurt.
Oh, you're out. Maggie got hurt. We're out.
I'm off the hook. Gabby's got to go next week, but whatever. So get this. Get this one. Get the schedule in this Tournament of Champions Brandon scam that they're running. They got to go Thursday. And they play Thursday night. Okay. Cat, you got it? A Thursday night game. Not bad. Whatever. They play Friday at 8:30 in the morning. Then they don't play again until 3:30 Saturday afternoon.
Oh, wow. That's tough. That's a bad draw.
That's getting a
bad draw. See?
So what's that? 30 hours off.
Oh, my God. So we go to Saskatoon this weekend for Sam. We go Friday night. We play three on Saturday. I mean, it's little guys, right? They play an hour at a time. But we play three on Saturday. They set it so we don't start till 9:50. Done by 3 so the kids can go buzz in the water slides and rip it around. And then we don't play Sunday till like 10. And then we go home. Perfect.
Probably a nice,
shout out Saskatoon,
Aberdeen. Nice hotel rate. They didn't force you to stay at any hotels.
No, we're buzzing. Yeah, bunch of pigeons. Okay. You got one, Boz?
I do, myself.
Take a seat, son.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to give myself a seat. So last week, 2 weeks ago on the show, I was gone. You guys did the top 10. Central Butte, number 7. I questioned it. I still question it, kind of, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to take all that back. But I talked about the Sask Valley, and it was brought to my attention through Barry, through one of his buddies out there, that I said that they finished 6th in their division and they finished 3rd. They're playing the 6th seed Loreburn. I swear to God, they had it backwards on the website because I'm either dyslexic, which is possible, or they had it wrong on the website. But yeah, I went on and said a few times how they were the 6th seed. They're the 3 seed in their division. So getting chirped a little bit for some bad information about the Sask Valley. If we only had time to reach out to all 13 leagues and made sure we get it right, but kind of a blunder on my part. So I apologize to the Central Butte weapons out there in the Sask Valley Hockey League for getting that wrong. We will talk on tomorrow's senior show some senior hockey, by the way. Congratulations to Central Butte. They did sweep Loreburn in the modified best out of three. They actually open up tomorrow against Keniston in a little best out of three out there for the West, East semifinals.
Western Sales, Sass Valley Hockey League, green, John Deere, green style. You're going to get the read up there and let us know.
Yeah. And by the way, if that is incorrect, it's on the website that they play in Keniston tomorrow. So,
okay. I got another one. Take a seat. Emily, what is that? What's his last? Jeremy Cockerell or something like that? The education minister. Take a freaking seat, bud.
Take a seat, son.
Get the teachers a contract. Get them back to work. They're not asking for too much. And you know what? It's our tax dollars. Like, Rick, you guys waste so much of it all the time. Just give them what we need to get back. Parents can't be taking 2 days off a freaking week to stay home with their kids. Let's go. Get her done, Pigeon.
Seems like they're not even at the table, right?
No.
No.
Real pain in the butt, but
it's a joke.
Anyway. Yeah, it sucks.
Western Sales, let's go. Let's talk farming here. Give me what Western Sales has going on.
Did anyone seed today? Anyone seeding today?
Yeah. Road bands.
I couldn't.
You know what? They're probably not that far off in the Southwest. It's going to come up quicker than anybody would like. But yeah, Western Sales, your John Deere freaking dealer out there. This is what they got going on.
Where do they got? Let's give the locations first. We got Central Butte. We got a Davidson. Rosetown.
Rosetown.
Bigger.
Colonze.
Bigger.
Bigger.
Elrose.
Elrose. They don't there cover. They cover Colonze. They're not in Colonze.
Davidson. What's you say Davidson? Central Butte. Yeah. Your Davidson, boys.
Yep. What is the ground temperature have to be before you get the seed in the ground? Is it different for every crop, Boss?
You got to put a probe in there. I don't know what the actual number is. I'm not sure. We're a long ways from that, though, Belts, for sure. We probably got a couple months of minus 20 less coming up, so I wouldn't get too...
big probe guy.
But yeah, Western Sales, just a little background on their local ownership. Pretty rare to have local ownership nowadays with these big corporations. Obviously, they're a John Deere authorized dealer for 76 years, 185 employees, most of which in West Central Saskatchewan. So they're a big part of the communities in our province. Recognized as one of John Deere's top dealers in North America for multiple years running. So yeah, recognized as a Platinum Club winner of Canada's best managed companies. Like, just these guys and gals are absolute weapons. They've donated over $250,000 annually to the communities and are a huge supporter of Stars Air Ambulance. So how about just a little freaking plug for what they do for the communities they live in? Yeah. 74 service technicians throughout the province. So they're there for you when you need them. It's not just like the transaction and you're done. They're with you through it all. And they're supporters, like I mentioned, of the communities, but senior hockey as well. And yeah, only good things to say about Western Sales.
We would buy someone a fantastic steak supper, take you for a night on the town. If you go into Western Sales, any dealership in the next 5 months and go, I'm going to buy that tractor, combine, whatever, because you guys are on the Monday Nooner. That would be awesome.
Big steak dinner, guys.
Yeah. So real quick again, Rosetown, Elrose, Davidson, Bigger, Central, Butte, and Outlook. And by the way, senior hockey show is tomorrow. And yes, we will talk more senior hockey then. But had some boots on the ground at the Rosetown Kenora game.
Yeah.
Heard that Kenora is a bit of a freaking Ukrainian powerhouse out there.
Cobras.
A lot of skis and chins on the end of their last names. That's... But they said a lot of big boys, like really tough team. They beat Rosetown 4-1. But just a bunch of giant pierogi eating MFers that can really skate. Good goalie. That was my insight. They're going to make a run. You have to be at least 3/4 Ukrainian to pronounce any of the last names, but they are deep and solid. So no, all in fun, obviously, to any Ukrainian listeners. You guys are.
Yeah, for sure.
Barry's Ukrainian, so we're allowed to take a little jab.
Bearcat.
But yeah, I've heard Kenora could be sneaky in C, so watch out for them. Talk more about senior hockey on the show later in the week.
Yeah, you know what? I think we hit it all. We got everybody in. We got another show coming up tomorrow. Hopefully everybody enjoyed this. On the way out, for all you Ukrainian fans, here's some Walter Ostanak.
Somebody go bid on that Gretzky case. Let's go.